In May of 2010, Only a Game's Karen Given kicked off her shoes and reported on a trend that excited members of the running world who love to let their tootsies wag in the breeze.
The recreational running craze took off in the 70s with the mantra, "All you need to run is a shirt, shorts, and a pair of shoes." But those shoes have become more and more complicated over the past few decades. A commercial for a popular sporting goods store reminds shoppers that May is National Running Month and poses the question.
You need anything?
Brooks Adrenaline GTS!
Asics Gel Kayak!
Modern running shoes generally cost between $80 and $200, but a movement is sweeping through the running community, suggesting that not only do we not need more and more expensive running shoes, we might not need shoes at all. Which is how, at 7 in the morning, 2 days before the Boston Marathon, while city workers erect barricades along the race route, a small revolution is taking place inside a downtown sporting goods store. Runners like Alice Jenny from Houston, Texas, slowed by foot and leg injuries, say they're no longer afraid to run barefoot.
No, I will do it in a heartbeat because I'm a runner and that's what I do. And I'm at the point where what I'm doing now isn't working for me. And so I've read about barefoot running, and I started reading the book, Born to Run.
For the past year, Christopher McDougall, the author of Born to Run, has appeared on talk shows and crisscrossed the country for book signings, usually in his bare feet. Today, he plops those feet atop a bench in front of thousands of dollars worth of the best Nike, Adidas, and Saucony has to offer, preaching against wearing shoes.
ASICS now has a shoe which is responsive to women's menstrual cycles.
You know? Sounds like BS.
Doesn't it? You know, if you want to sell something, if you want to have the greatest marketing tool of all time, that's fear.
McDougall's fear came from something called cuboid syndrome. His doctors told him he's too tall, too broad, and too solid to run. Picture the guy who played the mummy in those Brendan Fraser movies. Now a few pounds lighter, McDougall still looks like he could fit Ethiopian distance runner Haile Gebrselassie in his back pocket. But he says he hasn't had a single running injury since he stopped wearing traditional running shoes. McDougall didn't invent barefoot running, but like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he brought it to the masses.
Well, you know, we've hit a critical juncture where so many people have been hurt for so long that they're desperate, and what they've been told doesn't work. All this crap on the wall doesn't do anything, doesn't help. They're obsessed because they want to be able to run around and not get hurt anymore.
Born to Run is the de facto Bible for a new generation of barefoot runners. But on the front cover, ultramarathoner Billy Barnett stands in silhouette, high atop a mountain in Mexico. And Billy is wearing shoes. Only a single chapter, just 16 of the 287-page tale of adventure, biology, physics, evolution, and ultramarathon history actually addresses running shoes and why we might not need them. McDougall says he didn't know those 16 pages would fuel a movement.
No idea. Matter of fact, I almost cut that chapter about the shoes out of the book because when you start to get immersed in this kind of stuff, after a while, you just sort of take it for granted everybody knows this because it's so logical and makes such perfect sense when you try it for yourself.
Corrado Giambalvo from Rome, Italy, is a product tester for Vibram Five Fingers, a company that produces a minimalist running shoe that looks like a cross between a slipper and a glove. He's run two marathons completely barefoot, and today he led a barefoot running clinic through Boston Common.
It's funny, we were running in the park, and there was one guy wearing shoes who was jogging with his girlfriend, I think, and he said, "Hey, don't worry, I'm a convert," as if to reassure us that even though he was wearing shoes, he was into this minimalist and barefooting thing. And I said, "Dude, we're not a cult. I mean, we're not trying to convert anybody, okay?"
But not everyone is convinced.
I'm just not buying it. I'm simply not buying it for right now.
Kevin Kilbride is a marathoner from Santa Monica, California. He's in Boston to run the marathon, injured, but he's not swayed by Christopher McDougall's pitch.
I mean, it was a book. I picked up the book, and within three pages, I knew the bias. I knew what the bias was. I knew where he was going with it. And he's a damn good writer, and I'll finish the book, but I really think it's crap.
You're going to keep your shoes on.
Damn right, man.
2 days later, most marathon runners passing through the sleepy town of Newton are wearing shoes. Precious few wear minimalist running shoes or go completely barefoot. Robert Forster, a California physical therapist who's brought everyone from Jackie Joyner Kersee to Pete Sampras back from injury, points out that none of the winners are without shoes.
No. And I was at the New York Marathon this year. I was at the LA Marathon. I saw a handful of barefoot runners. And let me remind my colleagues in barefoot running that none of the elite Kenyans were barefoot in the races I saw. So presumably they switched from barefoot to shoes for a reason.
Barefoot running enthusiasts point to runners from Kenya's Rift Valley and a small tribe in Mexico's Copper Canyon as proof that people can run successfully for very long distances without shoes. But Forster says there's no reason those successes apply to you and me.
They need to remember that those folks have been running or walking barefoot since they were little kids. To take, first of all, a tenderfoot, if we can call it that, is first of all, without the calluses, we're going to find, you know, problems with blisters and cuts and abrasions. Above and beyond that, I do think your skin will toughen up. But have the joints of your feet, which have been babied by wearing shoes for your whole life, you know, are they ready for the forces of barefoot running?
Forster says even with a proper running technique, modern running shoes are still needed for the most common running problem, overpronation. In the past 30 years, Forster says he's seen injuries decrease as running shoes get better and better. Dan Lieberman, professor of human evolutionary biology at Harvard University, says that's hogwash.
So far, nobody, myself included, has done an injury study. So nobody's ever done a study which shows that your shoes prevent you from getting injured. The flip side of that is nobody's ever done a study showing that not wearing shoes prevents you from getting injured either. So right now we're operating in an absence of information.
What Lieberman has studied and has been studying for years is how humans, about 2 million years ago, evolved to become the best long-distance runners in the mammalian world. Lieberman says we have features from our heads to our toes that are designed specifically for running. And some of those features seem to work best when we're barefoot. Lieberman says barefoot running is less impactful than the typical heel strike most of us do in shoes, and he says he can prove it.
This is the hardest treadmill in the world, which will prove to you that you can run on the hardest surfaces in the world with no impact.
Okay.
Let's see if you do it right. So Adam, why don't you get her up to a walking speed?
Lieberman strips me of my shoes and puts me on a treadmill fitted with a force plate and attached to a computer. Turns out, I'm a perfect test subject.
Every time her body hits the ground, she's making a loud noise, right? That's the collision of her body hitting the ground.
Lieberman shows me a graph of my short run. When my heel hits the ground, about 2 times my body weight slams back up my leg in just 1/10 of a second. Lieberman compares it to taking a hammer and hitting myself on the heel. No wonder I like my cushy-soled, pronation-correcting running shoes. A quick lesson in barefoot running technique, and I'm back on the treadmill.
Great job! See how much quieter that is?
Not only is it quieter, but this time the graph looks like rolling hills instead of large spikes. But Lieberman cautions, before I can become a true barefoot runner, I need to build up strength in my feet and my calves, and that needs to be done over time.
I would say don't do more than a mile at first. You know, if you decide to go run 5 miles tomorrow barefoot, you will curse the day you ever tried it, right? You'll be unhappy, you'll be in pain, you'll be in agony, you'll be limping around. It will not be fun.
The next day, I strap on my 5 fingers and set out on my first barefoot-style run. And I like it. Instead of hearing the slap-slap of my feet over the music in my iPod, I take the buds out of my ears and enjoy the sounds of the birds in the trees and the geese on the water. The only discomfort comes from a blister on my big toe. Maybe next time I go for a run, I'll put on my pronation-correcting shoes. Or maybe I'll go barefoot. Lieberman says the point of the barefoot movement isn't to tell people what they should or should not put on their feet. It's merely to tell us that we have the choice.
I think there's a general trend. I mean, you're going to see more and more minimal shoes out there in the market. And it doesn't mean you have to be like all this or all that. I mean, you can wear your high-heeled shoe on Tuesday, and you can wear your minimal shoe on Thursday, and you can go barefoot on Saturday. You can do what you want, and I think that's good for people.
If you'd like to share your barefoot running experience, or lack thereof, please visit us on Facebook at Only a Game Radio.
that you can barefoot all night long. Take off your shoes and throw them away. Come back and get them another day. We're barefooting.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabue. Our technical director is John Parati. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen Given's barefoot running photo gallery and video, or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from barefoot runner Dan Lieberman.
Yeah, I tell you, the worst thing out there is acorns in the fall. The only time I've actually injured myself. It's not needles or glass. It's acorns. They're dangerous.
Oh, gosh, I'm sure we'll soon hear from the nation's squirrels demanding equal time. And they run barefoot, too. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.